Our Father, we would ask that you would be pleased to give us the kingdom. Give us your Spirit. You've promised you will to those who ask. May we have an understanding into your word that our hearts might be encouraged in faith. Respond as you would have us each respond today. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. We're going through the book of Ephesians. Today our text are the verses 13 and 14 of chapter 1. Please let me read the full sentence beginning with Ephesians 1, 3 through 14. Ephesians 1, beginning with verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him, who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. Years ago, I served on the board of American Christian School, and while serving on that board over those years was on the building committee, a time of stretching, a time of growth for me, learning that whole field. And we had to approve a number of different contracts, and it was interesting. Different contractors asked for different things as they would present their contracts and deposits that were required. One builder gave an estimate for work and then asked for half of the project up front. We were advised that often means that a contractor might be in financial trouble. Don't give him half of the contract. Stay away from him. Another large project we had the contractor post bond. The insurance company would be the guarantee that he would finish the job. Otherwise, they would pay the school. Other contractors did it different ways. Some of the smaller contractors or landscapers said, oh, nothing is needed up front. It's just the good name of the school, and we'll pay for everything at the end. Various different kinds of deposits and securities are given to guarantee contracts. Using that language is what the text is doing today in verses 13 and 14. God has given a deposit guaranteeing the contract, the work that he has begun in you. Believer, God the Father has chosen you before the foundation of the world in love. The Lord Jesus Christ laid down his life for you. And the triune God, God the Holy Spirit, is the guarantee that God is going to finish the work that he started in you. It's an amazing verses, it's verses 13 and 14. We know, remember that it's the conclusion of one sentence in the Greek that begins with verse 3. And it's focusing on the blessing of God, of each person of the Trinity, the triune God. We come today to the text that God the Holy Spirit is God's seal and God's guarantee that he will finish the work that he starts in each believer. Those two metaphors, let's look at them and ask, how can they be the picture and metaphor of the Holy Spirit? And ask how the Holy Spirit fulfills each of these metaphors. Verse 13 and 14, in him also you, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. First seal, verse 13, and then 14, guarantee. The Holy Spirit is the believer's seal. What is a seal? What is sealing? Seals were well known in the biblical times, even way back to the third millennium B.C. Each man not only had a staff, but his own seal. It would either be a ring or it would be a cylinder worn around the neck. And it would be basically that person's signature. When the clay was still soft, when the wax was still soft, you would put your ring, the seal, into the as your signature documenting that manuscript. It was used for various ways. It would be a seal would be put on something to signify ownership. Animals would have the master's seal upon them. Whatever they would claim as their own would be sealed. Ownership. Second use was security, making sure that this person is under my protection and sealed. You remember Christ's tomb was given Caesar's seal, that the power of Rome would stand behind and protect this seal, and no one was going to steal the body of Jesus Christ. He was sealed from Rome. The third use is not only ownership and security, but confirmation, a promise, an assurance that the word of the sender word was absolutely true. And so to authorize a contract, to seal a letter, it was the promise, the authorization, the notarization that the word of the sender to the receiver was absolutely true. John 6:27, on him, Jesus, God has placed his seal, authenticating his work, validating that Jesus' word is true. If you want a good cup of tea, I know some of you use Twinings. If you find Twinings, you look on the back and there's a special seal there. HRW, Queen Elizabeth, by appointment to Her Majesty, Queen Elizabeth II. You can buy lots of brands of tea. You can buy ShopRite Special. You can buy Red Rose. You can buy different brands. But Queen Elizabeth says, if you really want the very best, here's my validation, my seal, my word, promising this is the best cup of tea you'll have. Sealing for security, for ownership, but especially for validation. This is true. How is the Holy Spirit God's seal? The seal given to to each believer. You were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. Well, it's in each of these three same ways. It's first of all, the assurance of ownership. God is assuring you who have the Holy Spirit, you are the Lord's. All who the Father has chosen for salvation, all those redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ are given the Holy Spirit. You will have his promise that he will complete the work that's begun in you. Ephesians 1:13. It's the aorist. Upon believing, you were sealed. There's no interval of time. All those who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ have been sealed. If you do not have the Holy Spirit, if you do not have the sealing of the Holy Spirit, you do not belong to Christ at all. You've been given the Holy Spirit, believer. You are sealed with him. He is God's seal to you. John Owen is right to understand that in Ephesians 1:13, it's the Holy Spirit himself who is the seal, not what the Holy Spirit does. Don't confuse that. It's not the same as the Holy Spirit witnessing to your spirit and giving you assurance that you are the children of God. That's a wonderful ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit brings conviction. The Holy Spirit brings comfort. Many ministries of the Holy Spirit. It's not what the Holy Spirit does in you, which is the sealing. It's not any experience of the Holy Spirit, which is the sealing. The Holy Spirit himself is the seal to you. You have God, the Holy Spirit. You have God's seal that he will complete this work that he's begun in you. Paul uses it the same way later in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. You just flip over the page. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. He's appealing to the whole church. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit, all of you, because you were all sealed with the Holy Spirit. When a person puts their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation and you respond to him for the forgiveness of sins, God has given you the new birth. That's why you reach to Christ, and he's given you the Holy Spirit. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he doesn't belong to Christ. Romans 8:9. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you received from God? 1 Corinthians 6:19. If you have the Holy Spirit, you are sealed as God's property. He is assuring you, you belong to him. The other purpose of the seal of the Holy Spirit is seal is that God will be, you will be the Lord's forever. When God gives you the Holy Spirit, he's declaring to you that this is a forever relationship. You've been marked as his possession and guaranteed from all secure, from all loss. Caesar's seal on the tomb of Jesus Christ didn't last much. It wasn't very powerful against the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But God has given you his seal that you will be his forever. John 10:28, I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who's given to them to me is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. 2 Corinthians 1:21, now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm or established. He anointed us. He set his seal on us and put his Spirit in our hearts. God, the Holy Spirit, is God's seal to you, believer, for your assurance. You will never lose your salvation. God has started a work in you. He chose you before time, and he is guaranteeing that he will carry it on to completion. God, the Holy Spirit, as seal, is God's assurance of ownership, God's assurance of security, God's assurance of promise, of validation. His word is true. God does not change. God's word does not change. Malachi 3:6, I, the Lord, do not change. So you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8, the triune God will never change. You will not, God the Father who elected you before time will not diselect you. God the Son who laid down his life and redeemed you will not disredeem you. God the Holy Spirit has been given to you as God's seal to you, seal to your heart. He will carry on to completion, or in the language, he will complete the project that he has started in you. And that seal being given to us, God the Holy Spirit being given to us as a seal, it's not for God's sake. It's for our sake. God knows those who are his. It's for your comfort. It's for your encouragement to press on. To know that the Lord will never disown you, that you will never lose your salvation. Gives you that courage to keep on pressing on. All that the Father has chosen for himself, all those redeemed by Christ, God assures that he will complete the work in you. All that have come to the Father, Jesus said, all that come to me, I will never drive away. All that have come to me, I will lose none that the Father has given to me, but raise them up on the last day. The doctrine of God's election, the doctrine of God's choosing to love before time is not a doctrine to lead you to fear. It's not a doctrine to lead you to dark introspection. It's not a doctrine to lead you to no hope and trying to figure it out. Am I one of God's elect? God gives you his Spirit, and then as you have the Spirit of God within you, you've trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you see your heart. Trusting in Christ, you see when the Scriptures are read and preached, you're responding in faith, and you're crying, Lord, help my unbelief. You repent of your sins. You see growth gradually over the years. God is sealing to you. He will carry on to completion that which he has begun in you. The Holy Spirit is the believer's seal, God's confirmation to you. You are his, and you're his forever. You will never lose your salvation. So how is then the second metaphor not only sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory? What is a guarantee? It can be variously translated, and your translations will have different words. The ESV has guarantee. NIV has deposit, guaranteeing. King James, the old word is earnest. Pledge, New American. The reason why the translators are having difficulty putting the right word here is because there is no way to translate this into English. The Greek word has two concepts for it, and the both concepts. We have no one English word to include both aspects of it. This word means two things. It means a commitment, and it means a sample. A commitment. First of all, a guarantee is a commitment that the remainder is coming. It clinches the contract. It's to make the contract certain. This earnest, this guarantee is always given to the receiver. It becomes the property of the receiver as a pledge to assure you that the rest is coming. It's irrevocable. Means that the person who has entered into contract is bound to complete the full commitment. And it's the assurance for the person who's receiving it. For their assurance, this will be completed. In our salvation, in this description, this metaphor, you see, it's you are the receiver. God has gone under oath to pledge to you, you will be saved, all those who come to Christ. You are the receiver. And God has given you a deposit, a guarantee, an earnest to assure you that the commitment, that the remainder is coming. When we purchase a home, a couple finds a home that they like and they don't want to lose it. They know there's going to be maybe several other names wanting to go under contract. And so the seller's realtor will ask for a deposit. We refer to different ways, pin money or even earnest money, the legal deposit. And in an exchange for giving that money to the seller promises to take the house off the market until you can get your mortgage. It's an initial payment. It's a concrete token to the seller, to the receiver of your promise that you're serious about buying that house. A promissory down payment of the promise, a commitment to buy the rest. God has given you, believer, the Holy Spirit, as God's earnest guarantee deposit that he himself will guarantee all the rest. He will guarantee the fullness of your salvation. Earnest, deposit, guarantee is first of all this commitment that all the rest will be finished. But secondly, there's another aspect, and that is a guarantee is also a sample of the same. This deposit had to be in kind of the rest that's still to come. An example would be, little sister says to her hungry brother, Mom's making a new recipe for dinner tonight, and it's great. She's already let me have a taste. I already have a sample of what we're having for dinner. For all the rest that's still to come, it's a sample in kind of what God has promised to give you. And so if the contract were for money, of course, a sum of money. But if you were to buy a piece of land, A.W. Pink says that in this environment, this culture, the seller would actually go out and dig up a piece of the dirt that you're buying and give it to you. Here's a promise of the same that you're going to be receiving. A full commitment is yet to come for it all. Deposit, guaranteeing, and like saying similar, of all that's still to come. Put that into one English word. We don't have an English word. How is God the Holy Spirit, God's guarantee to you, believer? Holy Spirit is God's commitment to you that you are absolutely assured of heaven. God's gift and his call are irrevocable, Romans 11:29. John 14:16, and I will ask the Father and he will give you another comforter to be with you forever. This helps us understand and translate verse 14, the rest of verse 14. Who is the guarantee, the commitment and sample of our inheritance? And then how do you translate what's next? Until we acquire possession. Is it the sense of time, like the NIV, guaranteeing until redemption? Is it the idea that it will end then? Is it the idea that it will end when we see Christ? Is it a word of time? No, the ESV is better, and other translations. It's until we acquire possession of it. It's the sample for the whole to come, until the whole contract is completed. It's not looking at time so much as it is a promise to actually acquire the whole thing. It's a guarantee of full blessing. You have been given God the Holy Spirit, and therefore you, believer, will have all the rest, including final redemption of the body and full blessings of adoption. The Holy Spirit is God's down payment to you, his absolute promise that he will bring you to glory. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. John 10:28, no one can snatch them out of the Father's hand. If God the Father chose those to love before time, if God the Son went to the cross to pay for their redemption, you will never be diselected. You will never be disredeemed. God the Holy Spirit is your seal, is your guarantee of all the rest to come. We drive around our communities and we see lots of building projects that have been started and stopped and sit there. I don't know, how many years has it been that huge parking lot next to the Lowe's? They did all the site work for these strip of stores to come in, and whether they lost funding or whatever it was, and the parking lot's been sitting there for year after year after year. Maybe some of you start projects and you go, oh, I'm going to start crocheting, or I'm going to start this new book, or I'm going to start this art project. And you get so far and they get stuck in a drawer. God has no drawer of half-finished projects. He has given you his seal, his contract guaranteeing that if he began the work in you in his own mind and will before time, before the creation of the world, he's assuring you he will carry it on to completion. Some would say, well, to have assurance of salvation like this, that sounds presumptuous. Maybe it's even a little conceited. Certainty is not in us. The certainty is in the promise of God. The Holy Spirit is the guarantee, commitment, that you, believer, are absolutely assured of heaven. And the second part of the guarantee is the sample. How is the Holy Spirit the sample? Because he's already the beginning of heaven. He's already the taste of heaven. You already have a sample. Old Testament first fruits, the feast of first fruits, when the harvest of wheat was beginning, you would give the first portion of wheat to the Lord. The offering was the same kind, the first fruits. Christ's resurrection of the dead is the first fruits. We are going to be raised in the same way, just as he was. The Holy Spirit being given to you as a guarantee is a sample of more to come of the same kind. Heaven is not so much, it is a place. Certainly it is. The new heavens and the new earth is not so much a place as it is a relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And where that relationship is a glory and seeing the face of Christ, it's already begun. When God has given you the Holy Spirit and the joy of your salvation, the assurance that he loves you in Christ, he's already begun to give you a small taste of the sample what is yet to come. So your life now is hid with Christ in God, Galatians 3:3. I tell you the truth, Jesus said, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has already now eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life, John 5:24. When you place your trust in Jesus Christ, his promises to forgive you, redeem you, restore you, and give you eternal life. And to guarantee to our weak hearts, he gives you the Holy Spirit as his seal, as his guarantee that he who began the work in you will carry it on to completion. The Holy Spirit is the believer's seal. Holy Spirit is the believer's guarantee. We're right back to verse 3, aren't we? Blessed be God. What love. God the Father would choose the likes of me before time. How can this be? God the Son would lay down his life to redeem the likes of me. How can this be? God the Holy Spirit will not give up on the likes of me. How can this be? And it brings us back to blessed be God in worship and gratitude. And when you have the hope of this, it will change your life. What gives you hope to keep pressing on in sanctification? What keeps you hope of just pressing on to know Christ? It's change happens best when the hope is strongest. And when your hope is in God and it's strong there, it's anchored here in the triune God. That gives us the courage to keep pressing on all of our stumblings and all of our track record. Repent. And again, hope in the gospel that he will carry on to completion. Gives us the encouragement to with one another, to encourage each other, the mess that we make of our lives. And to assure each other the security is not in us, but in God's oath. If you are not in Christ today, does your heart long to know a God as this? His love, his redemption, and his assurance. Speak to me today. It would be my joy to show you how you can know a relationship with this triune God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, it would be presumptuous for us to have this assurance if it were just our own ideas, but you have given us this promise in your word. You have assured us of these things. We can't wrap our minds and hearts around these things. They're too wonderful for us. Thank you for the joy that this gives us, the assurance of our salvation. Thank you, Father, that it does give us the courage for perseverance and pressing on. It does give us the confidence as we pray for those we love who stumble and fall. You have no drawer of half-finished projects. We love you. We bless you. We pray in Jesus' name.